Brother Eric is under the tutelage of Miss Sally Welch at Midwestern Baptist College, and I promise you that Miss Sally Welch sings in the key of Gee Whiz, I Wish I Could Sing Those Notes. Amen. She can almost crack glass. Amen. And good to hear that. Thank you, Brother Eric. Well, our text today in verse number 1 of the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In the end of the verse, Jesus begins a series of warnings. He warns us in verse number 1, where we will take our text and message today, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In verse 15, if you'll just glance down there, he tells us to beware of covetousness. And certainly in our day, could we say amen to beware of covetousness. Later in the Bible, in Colossians, God tells us that covetousness is idolatry. Amen. If there's something in your life that's more important than God, then you are covetous of that thing. You have to have that thing. And Jesus tells us right there in the text, a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. If you go down to verse 22 of Luke chapter 12, God tells us here, Jesus tells us to beware of worry. He says there, to take no thought for your life what shall eat, neither for your body what ye shall put on. Can I say, many a life has been shortened by the sin, I said the sin of worry. And all God's people said, your body is systemic. You worry and put stress, it puts stress on your entire body. So Jesus warns us against worry. He warns us in verse 43 against carelessness. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Ladies and gentlemen, we just finished a prophetic series and we just finished a revival meeting. Can I say this? That if Jesus is closer to coming than he was when we started our prophetic series. You know what? It's not a day for carelessness. It's a day to be watching and praying and serving our Lord. Amen. And then lastly, he warns us against dullness in verse number 56. Verse number 56 of chapter 12. You look at it there. He says, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it that ye do not discern the time? Yea, and why even yourselves judge ye not what is right? Ladies and gentlemen, is the tendency of a fire to go out. You know what we need to do? Keep stoking it. Amen? Keep stoking it. Don't get dull. Amen? Jesus is coming right around the corner. Doctors and dietitians will tell you, if you'd like to get into better shape, and if you'd like to lose weight, then you've got to watch, you've got to eliminate, or you've got to limit what we would call bad carbs. Bad carbohydrates. How many of you have ever done Atkins? Raise your hand. Atkins diet. Oh, just a few of you. It's a Baptist church. Just a few. Amen. Just a few have done the Atkins, where you completely eliminate carbohydrates. That means if you're going to try to get in better shape or try to lose weight, you're going to have to go easier on the bread and on the pasta and on the potatoes and on many other foods that we Baptists just love. I mean, you're looking, you see the piercing glances I'm getting right now. What do you mean, Beth? Listen, do not think this is an anti-bread message because you're looking at somebody who loves, Lord knows my heart, who loves a warm piece of bread with real butter. Can I get a witness? Just dripping all over it to the point where it ruins your shirt for the dry cleaner, Brother Horsch. Amen. Just all over you. I love that. However, most bread is made with yeast to make it rise. Amen. Yeast in the Bible was called by a different name. It was called by the name leaven. You know, leaven in the Bible is always, always, always negative. Always. You say, where are the references to leaven in the Bible, Pastor? Well, the references to leaven in the Bible, Matthew 13:33, speaking of the parable, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. It deals with the corruption of apostates sneaking into the church. They crept in unawares. Matthew 16:6, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." 16:11, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." 16:12, Jesus talked about the leaven of bread, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mark 8:15, He charged them, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." Our text tells us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. 1 Corinthians 5:6-8, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump and as unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore not let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." The last reference is in Galatians. Galatians 5:9, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Something about leaven that we notice just by way of introduction is leaven works secretly, doesn't it? You can't sit there and look in the oven and see how yeast does its work. It just works secretly. Something else that leaven or yeast does, it spreads quickly. You never did see a loaf of bread that was giant on one side and flat on the other side. Amen? It works, spreads quickly, but something else it does is it saturates thoroughly. Ladies and gentlemen, leaven in the Bible is a picture of sin. Sin! Listen, I know that at the cotton candy churches this morning that sin is not a popular word. But ladies and gentlemen, we still need preachers to cry out against sin. Listen, sin in your life, it will work secretly, it will spread quickly, and it will saturate thoroughly in your life until your life is wrecked and ruined and you're like that man on the side of the road waiting for the Good Samaritan to come by. Listen, leaven. Jesus tells us here to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. There are three groups that Jesus mentions to beware of their leaven. To beware of their doctrine, and that is the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Herod. First of all, if we could, by way of introduction this morning, I'd like to look at the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod is the doctrine of what we call hedonism. Hedonism. In Mark 8:15, it says, "And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." Webster defines hedonism as the doctrine that pleasure or happiness is the sole or chief goal of life. Let us not forget, ladies and gentlemen, it was the same Herod that enticed his brother's wife to come and live with him in an adulterous relationship. Amen. Let us not forget it was the same Herod who had his daughter-in-law perform a wicked pornographic dance in front of him that caused John the Baptist to lose his head. It's the doctrine of hedonism, and that is that pleasure or happiness is the only thing that really matters. Listen, just like the Corinthians of old, the carnal Christians of today are looking for a more pleasurable church experience. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear that, listen, if you die in your sins, you will go to hell. But I promise you, God still wants to hear that. God still wants to hear preachers proclaiming that. But this is the doctrine of, hey, listen, we just want to be happy. We just want to be happy. Listen, I don't want to be happy and go to hell. You don't want to be you don't want your relatives to be happy and go to hell. That's why sometimes, you know what? You need to have a little confrontation. Oh, I'm not saying take off the gloves. I think you have to be delicate, amen. I think you want to be kind and all that. But listen, eventually you have to say you're a sinner and you need to be saved. Sadly, churches, quote unquote, seeker sensitive, are caving into what people want. And you know what sinners want? Sinners want relevant messages. Sinners don't want to hear about their sin. They just want to come in, feel good, and leave. Listen, this doctrine of hedonism, this leaven of Herod is infecting churches today. Listen, I'm glad you come to church and feel good. I'm glad for that. But listen, if God tells me to preach on sin and you don't feel good, too bad. Too bad. Amen? Amen? Listen, we want to hear what God says, not whether we want to be happy or not. The leaven of Herod is the doctrine of hedonism. Then we have the leaven of the Sadducees. And that is the doctrine of humanism. In Matthew 16:6, it says, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." The humanism is the doctrine that man is the end-all and be-all of life that we have. And listen, this leads to so many errors, but we could think of it right away. Well, you say, how do you know that the Sadducees were humanistic? The Bible says they believed not in the resurrection. They believed this was it. This was the end. This all you have is this life. Listen, it leads to so many things. It leads to biblical liberalism. Because I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This book says there is a resurrection. Amen? There will be a resurrection day. John 5:29, "And they shall come forth, some that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." Acts 24:15 says, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and on the unjust." Revelation 26, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." I did a funeral yesterday. So sad. So sad. 39 years old, jaw cancer. I saw pictures of him as they were showing. It was Buddy Mayo, Dale Mayo. And I saw, they had one of those slideshows. Saw pictures of him and thought, good night, he was born in 1971. I was born in 1972. I'm 38. Be 39 in January. And as I saw the clothes over the years and the hairstyles and the things, I thought, my goodness, that's me. That could have been me. And I went in and I saw a bunch of people that were hurting. I saw, if I could say it gently, delicately, I saw people who didn't have any hope. So, Brother Sammons, you know what? About half an hour before the funeral, ask God to help me, give me a message. And he gave me a message, hope for hurting people, out of John chapter 11. Remember, Martha ran up to Jesus and she said, "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And I believe her. Amen? Mary said the same thing. "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And what did Jesus do? Did he say, No, he said, he gave her hope. You know what the hope was? "Thy brother shall rise again in the resurrection." And then he went on to say, not only we had there the promise of the resurrection, but then we found out about the person of the resurrection. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then the power of the resurrection. "He that were dead, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Ladies and gentlemen, the doctrine of the Sadducees is the doctrine of humanism. Hey, listen, you better live it up, because this is all you got. Or, like Paul said, hey, listen, if there is no resurrection from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. But there is a resurrection from the dead. The doctrine of Herod, the leaven of Herod, that idea of hedonism, the leaven of the Sadducees, humanism, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Look at our text at the end, Luke chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Matthew 6:2, Jesus refers to the hypocrites in the synagogues. In 6:5, he refers to the hypocrites of prayer. Matthew 6:16, he refers to the hypocrites that fast. He refers to the hypocrite that has to take the beam out of his own eye before he sees the little sliver in his brother's eye. Matthew 15:7 talks about the hypocrites that Isaiah said that they honor me with their lips, but their mouth is far from me. And over and over and over and over in the scriptures, Jesus refers with that term, hypocrite. It's used 20 times in your King James Bible. The Greek word is pronounced hupakritas. Hupakritas. And it's, let me give you the definition. One who answers an interpreter, an actor or stage player. A dissembler, pretender, hypocrite. Jesus told us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And ladies and gentlemen, I've learned this in my life, that hypocrisy can sneak in. And the next thing you know, God will say, "Hey, you Pharisee, watch out." Amen? I know He's done that in my life. I hope He's done it in yours. I want to look, if we could, at some bad carbs to beware of. To watch out, to beware of some bad carbs this morning. I want you to notice first the one, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, in, number one, appearance. Appearance. Look at our text, Luke chapter 11, verse 39. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but your inward part is full of ravening wickedness." Matthew 23:14. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses and make pretense and make long prayer." Matthew 23:25. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess." The Pharisees, this leaven of the Pharisees, this hypocrisy of appearance, they were more concerned about what people thought than what God thought. Amen? They were more concerned. When they prayed, they wanted everyone to hear them praying. When they fasted, they wanted everyone to know, so they kind of disfigured their face a little bit. "I'm fasting." When they gave, they wanted everyone to see how much they gave. Matthew 23:5 says, "But all their works they do were to be seen of men." They were all about the external, weren't they? They were all about the outside. Matthew 23:28. "Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Can I say something, ladies and gentlemen? You have a pastor that is for standards. We have some standards. Listen, you'll not see me up here in a sweater and a turtleneck. That's fine. If they want to do that down the road, listen, I'm going to dress like a preacher ought to dress. Amen. Okay? If you're going to sing in our choir, we're going to ask you to conform to some standards of leadership. We're going to ask ladies to wear skirts down past your knee. We're going to ask men to dress right, wear a tie, look right, look the part, be a leader, amen, by the fact you're on the platform. If you're going to teach Sunday school, we want you to conform to our leadership standards. But listen to me and listen well. There's a lazy, sloppy, immodest, counterfeit version of Christianity that would tell us that if we have standards, then we're Pharisees. Nothing is further from the truth. Nothing. Listen, I never have told a choir member, "Listen, if you don't wear a tie, you're not saved." That's foolishness. Amen? I have told them, "You can't sing in the choir." I mean, this is the way it is. We're going to have standards. We're going to give our young people something to shoot for. Amen? As long as the CEO still wears a suit and tie, your pastor will wear a suit and tie. As long as a person, when he meets the President of the United States, will dress right, then listen, when I stand before God to deliver His Word, I'm going to look right. Amen? I'm going to hold the banner high. By the way, I could say this. It does amaze me how many people will have standards for television, but not for teen relationships. Amen? We don't watch any television. Teenagers got their hands all over each other. There's something wrong there. Amen? They'll have standards for music, but not for modesty. They'll have standards for internet, but not to find out how much time their children were intimate in their Bible. Listen, our outward appearance should be a product of our inward affection. The reason I come to church in my best is because I believe that the God that saved me deserves my best. Ladies and gentlemen, it should be our relationship with God, time in His Word, surrender to His will that cleans out the inside. And listen, when God cleans out the inside, The outside naturally follows. Praise the Lord. Imagine going to someone's house and they had a wonderful meal, all prepared and great dessert, and they get ready, if they're right with God, to serve the coffee. Amen. Some of you coffee people out there, the rest of you, just pray. We're praying for you. Amen. And when you're given that cup, you look at this gorgeous piece of china that your host or hostess gives you, and you look on the outside and it's beautiful. And then you look down inside of it and it's full of mold and cobwebs and bugs, things moving. What would you do? Run?
I don't drink coffee.
You may have to go somewhere and take care of something. You may pass out. I don't know. You know what probably you'd want done was you'd probably want a new cup. Or you'd want that cup cleaned out. Amen? Listen, if you have the leaven of the Pharisees, of that leaven of appearance in your life, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to clean out the inside of the cup. Get back to spending time with Him. Get back to reading His Word. Get back to pray. Get back to caring for lost souls. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside also of them may be clean. Matthew 23:26. If your standards don't emanate from a love and desire to be obedient to Christ, then you're in danger of becoming a Pharisee.
You say, I wear a suit coat.
Well, good for you. And so does the guy that eats his last meal and goes to the electric chair. It's not suit coat that makes you spiritual, sir. It's not a long dress that makes you spiritual, ma'am. You might be in danger of eating some of those bad carbs of the Pharisees, which is appearance. There's 11 of the Pharisees in appearance. There's 11 of the Pharisees in action. Look at our text, Luke chapter 11, verse 42. Look back there if you would. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. We see the leaven of the Pharisees in appearance. We see the leaven of the Pharisees in their actions. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. It's very interesting here. When Jesus talks about tithing, He never says you shouldn't tithe. He said, listen, but that's the height of the Pharisees' spirituality. The height of their spirituality. Well, I give this, and I do that, and I do this. You know, the Pharisees' actions were wrong. Several instances. The Pharisees demanded of others what they were not willing to do themselves. Didn't they? Matthew 23:3-4 says, Jesus talking to His crowd here, He says, All there whatsoever they bid you to do, observe and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. By the way, listen, parents, grandparents, you got children, you tell them to do something, now they ought to do it. Amen. But you ought to do it too. Your example is way bigger than what you say. I was a youth pastor for almost 10 years. Teenagers can spot a hypocrite a mile away. They've got radar. Listen, we ought to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Amen. The mark of a great Christian is their willingness to serve. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, He that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. The Pharisees were not interested in serving. They were interested in being served. Amen. One of the things I love around our church is when we do something, we have a fellowship, we have a work day. Boy, I'll tell you what, everybody just comes and serves, and it's a blessing. Brother Epperly will have a fellowship downstairs. Everybody's down there with chairs under their hand when it's over. Amen. Getting that place ready for Sunday morning. I love that. Amen. That tells me that I'm not too worried about the actions of the Pharisees. They demanded of others what they were not willing to do themselves. Something else the Pharisees did. They kept the letter of the law while ignoring the spirit of the law. There's so many examples of this. I think in our Sunday school class, our ambassador class, the last lesson I preached, not today, but the previous one, was on the woman bowed down. And I believe literally she had a condition of the back that literally caused her to look at her shins. And she came to the synagogue and was in that condition for 18 years. And Jesus told her to come, and He touched her, and He healed her, and she straightened right up. And the Pharisees said, well, you know, we're supposed to work six days. I mean, you know, it's the Sabbath. And I love it. Jesus looked at him. He said, hypocrite! He said, you take your animal out of the stall and water them on the Sabbath. If they fell in a pit, you'd get them out of there. And here's a woman for 18 years has been bound by Satan. A great miracle is done. And all you've got to say is, well, it's the Sabbath. You know what Jesus said? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. It's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. They were just interested in keeping the little letter of the law that they didn't realize. Listen, it's not just about keeping the letter of the law. Man, you know what else the Pharisees did? They hindered people from coming to Christ. He said in Matthew 23, you can read it, He said, you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, you make them a twofold child of hell. Why? Because they placed keeping the law above trusting in the Messiah. That's what they were all about. You know what else they did? They destroyed God's messengers, didn't they? Our text tells us that. Our text tells us that the blood of from Abel to Zacharias is going to be on their hands. They were not interested in what God said when it contradicted what they believed. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, again, I have some standards. I think they're right standards. I'm glad for them. We have our Constitution. There are some things in our Constitution that are not in this Bible. Some just simple orders of rules and things like that. But listen, when this book and our standards contradict, you know what we go with? This book. This book. The Pharisees weren't that way. Their standards had actually become their Bible. It was their actions. They had the leaven of the Pharisees in appearance. The leaven of the Pharisees in actions. Number three, and back in our text, the leaven of Pharisees in attitude. Look, if you would, at chapter 11, verse 43. And it says there, woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Due to their outward conformity to the law, the Pharisees had an attitude of spiritual superiority. And it is best evidenced in the story of Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. We know it as the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee came and in his wonderful robe, and I think he puffed his chest out, and he said, oh God, I'm so thankful that you've given me all this to give back to you. And everybody looks, see, I'm giving to God. I'm giving it all back to Him. And I'm so glad that I'm not like that man. And can't you just see the seething superiority in his life? You know, when I see somebody like that, honestly, I want to ball up my fist and just... The Bible says I'm not to be a striker, but bless God, I want to be sometimes. Amen. And then that publican, you know what he said? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that that man went away justified rather than the Pharisees. You know what the attitude of the Pharisees, when you start looking at people and say, well, I've never done that and I'm not like that. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. And pride is a wicked sin. It's on the list of things God hates. Matter of fact, I think it's the first thing on the list, Brother Becker. A proud look. You start thinking you're better than people, I'm telling you what, the leaven of the Pharisees of attitude has infected your life. I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from what 1 Corinthians 10:12 condemns. We dare not make ourselves of the number that compare ourselves with themselves by measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. They are not wise. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is the standard for our comparison. Did we learn that during our revival meeting? That what we need to do is not look around and say, well, I'm better than this person or I'm better than that person. No, no. Get a glimpse of God in His glory and you'll say, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Woe unto me, for I'm a sinner. That's the attitude we need in our church. You know what? Self-abasement leads to Savior exaltation. Amen? You know, I know it's not popular. Listen, if you think you're better than a young Christian, ma'am, because your dress flows to the ground, you're full of pride. Amen. Amen. Sir, if you think you're better than that young Christian because you've got that fundamental haircut in your King James Bible, you're full of pride. You didn't get where you are without some help. Amen. Listen, why you say, why are you preaching this, Pastor? Because we just came off a tremendous revival meeting. And listen, I know what happens. I've seen it. Leaven of the Pharisees sneaks in and starts working and baking the bread. Listen, we can't have it. By the way, why don't you stop trying to correct that young Christian and just let the Holy Spirit do His job? He does a way better job than you ever will. Pastor Tharp mentioned it. I came into church with hair down to here and he lied, and he's going to listen to this message. He lied. He said it was back out there 3 miles down the road. It was so long. And no, it was long, but I wore it that way for a year. And no Pharisee ever came up to me and said, why don't you get a haircut, you hippie? You know what? The Holy Spirit told me to get a haircut. Holy Spirit worked in my heart. I'm so glad that in my life that the attitude of the Pharisees wasn't present in those around me. The attitude of pride and superiority always results from both an improper exaltation of self and an improper evaluation of the sovereign. You know what? When you're proud, you put yourself in the place of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God knows how to abase pride. But it's a whole lot better when we do it ourselves. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Listen, when you get a glimpse of who God is and you realize who you are, how small you really are, you won't be. You won't have that leaven of the Pharisees in attitude. Let me give you the last one. Appearance, actions, attitude, and then lastly, the leaven of the Pharisees in authority. Authority. Mark chapter 7 tells the story of how Jesus comes in, and it's a similar account here, it's a parallel account, that He comes in and He gets ready to eat, and they say, oh, He didn't wash His hands. Oh, what's wrong with Him? You know, all these laws. And Jesus makes one of the greatest statements in the Bible, in Mark chapter 7, verse 13. He says, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. Well, we talked about it before, ladies and gentlemen. They elevated their traditions above what God's Word said. And heaven help us when we do that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're a Bible-believing church, not a tradition-based church. Listen, I'm glad for some traditions. I think some traditions are wonderful. You think of the different traditions that you've seen and been part of over the years. At our church in Massachusetts, we had a watch night service. You know, the only watch night service I ever found in there, somebody fell off the banister and died, and Paul had to revive him. Amen? Not a really good example. Amen? It was just a tradition that we had. We started a tradition last year. We had a men's hog roast. Certainly nothing about in the Old Testament about a men's hog roast. Amen? Just a tradition. That's okay! But you know what? When we start saying traditions take the place of this book, then we're no better than the Church of Rome. We're no better than the Church of Luther, the Episcopalian Church, where they elevate their traditions above what God said. That's what the Pharisees had done. Let's pray that that day will never come when the traditions of the church will outweigh, thus saith the Lord. You know, when I think about that, I think of the Pharisees, I think of Judges. It's written twice. God wrote it twice for us in Judges. Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know why God gave us His book? Because we don't know right from wrong. God knows right from wrong. God wants to teach us through His Word. The Pharisees, well, you know what they did? They rejected the authority of God, didn't they? And consequently, they diminished the Word of God by their traditions. And that's terrible. Amen. That ought never to be said of us. That our traditions were more important than what this book said. You know what else they did? They persecuted the people of God. You remember the story of the man born blind? And they came to him and said, hey, tell us how this happened. And he said, okay. A man named Jesus made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to wash. Now I see. Came around again and said, hey, tell us how that happened. I said, well, I told you already. A man named Jesus made clay, put it on my eyes, and told me to go wash. Now I go see. Later on, they come to him again and say, hey, tell us how that happened. We know this man's a sinner. He said, beats me. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is once I was blind, now I see. And then he asked them a wonderful question. He said, will you be his disciples? What a great question. Wouldn't you want to be a disciple of a man that could heal somebody born blind? And they said, ha! We're Moses' disciples, you out of the synagogue. Persecuted the people of God. Diminished the authority of the Word of God. And you know what else they did? They crucified and criticized the Son of God, didn't they? The Pharisees. All because they rejected His authority. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you just a few things to keep from Phariseeism. Just a few practical points and I'll be done. How do we keep from Phariseeism, Pastor? Let's clean from the inside out. Amen? Let's clean from the inside out. It's not about outward conformance. It's about inward transformation. Amen? That's so evident to me when I got saved. I got saved and, boy, God began to do a work in my heart. And it wasn't long, Brother Jenkins, before my feet couldn't go places that they used to go. It wasn't long before these ears couldn't listen to things that I used to listen to. It wasn't long before these eyes couldn't watch things. Why? Because something happened on the inside. That's what we need. We need that inside transformation. Number two, not only clean the inside and the outside will fall. Number two, guard your quiet time with God. Guard your quiet time with God. Have a quiet time with God. Every day. Every day. It doesn't have to be for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. But every day, have a quiet time with God. Why? Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? The Word of God. The Word of God. Guard your quiet time with God. Number three, keep the spirit of the law and not just the letter. We talked about it in Sunday school. We had a man, he said, pray for the less fortunate. And I said, you know, that's true. We forget about them sometimes, don't we? Be warmed and filled. No. That's not the spirit of the law. Amen? Spirit of the law is help. Be gracious, kind. Number four, don't expect more of others than you do of yourself. Amen? If you tell people, listen, you ought to pray for a half an hour, you know what? You better be ought to be praying for a half an hour. Amen? Otherwise, you're in danger of being a Pharisee. Well, you need to do this, and you need to do this. Well, do you do that? Well, no. I think the leaven of the Pharisees is working. Number five, stop comparing yourselves to others. Compare yourself to Jesus. Amen? We're not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Number six, repent daily and beware of pride. Amen. Amen. The day you think you don't have to repent of pride and you don't have to beware of pride is probably the day that pride's taken over. Amen. Pride, listen, you're looking at a preacher that battles with pride every day. Pride, pride, pride. Put it down. Number seven, we mentioned it. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Don't just come here and then go on and about your merry way. No, no, be a doer. Do what God says and all God's people said. Lastly, James chapter 1, 27 tells us that pure religion and undefiled talks about bridling the tongue. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you know what the Pharisees did? They got in the corners. They started talking a talk. Listen, it happens in churches. It happens. Listen, Jesus dealt with that in that 11th chapter. And at the end of the beginning of chapter 12, he said, hey, there's nothing covered that's not going to be revealed in the judgment day. He said, yeah, what they say in the corners will be proclaimed from the housetop. So you know what we need to do when somebody crosses us, we're a little upset? Just bite your tongue. Bite it off if you have to. Close your mouth. Amen. 11 of the Pharisees. Beware of bad carbs. Beware of bad carbs. Let's bow our heads. Close our